Hello and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Well, guys, I'm really surprised because, you know, it's been a bit of an interesting week this week, but we've got all the way through to this part of the service without even mentioning the word. What word may I be thinking of? Okay, that's two of you know, right? You can't answer now. What word may I be thinking of? Brexit. Do you all know what Brexit is? Just like a little bit out there, yeah? Just like you're really quiet. Do you know what Brexit? I know, but it's been like that though, right? It's been like really quiet. It's been kind of like just bumbling along and happening there. And, you know, on the 11 o'clock on Friday night, we were watching the telly and it was pretty much like really low key. And, you know, you might be thinking it's a great thing. You might not be thinking it's a great thing. You might be going like, okay, what's going to happen now? But, you know, whatever's going to happen, God's in control. And God is in the middle of it. And I just really do believe that and know that, you know, all the songs we've been singing this morning, we've been declaring that, you know, God is with us, you know, in the middle of the hard times, but also we can triumph over them. And I just love that. But there's also been another anniversary this week. Does anyone know what the other anniversary this week is? You're going to have to talk loud. Either I'm going deaf or you're going quiet. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's dead right. The 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, which for those of you who don't know, was an absolutely notorious concentration camp, you know, run by, you know, in the time of the Nazis, and there were 1.1 million people killed there over a space of a very few years. And, you know, we can like look back at these things and, you know, it's going to be history. Brexit is going to be history. It's history now, right? But this is history, and we can look back at history with almost disbelief that some of these things happen. Some things we can look back with shock and horror. But you know what? Out of desperate times actually come incredibly courageous stories, because out of desperate times, people actually stand out and stand up and do incredible things. And Ed and I were in Amsterdam, as you know, a few weeks ago. And we had the privilege to visit a home of some incredible people that were around about the time of this war. And on a Wednesday afternoon, about 3 weeks ago, we were walking down this road, and we got the opportunity to go in a narrow but tall house in a city called Haarlem in the Netherlands, which is close to Amsterdam. And this house had been the home of a watchmaker with his two unmarried daughters. The houses, they just look the same, right? It could be any house in any street. And the house that we went into, you could be forgiven for walking right past and not realizing the significant plan and the significant family that actually lived in this home. And quite incredibly, the home saw the rescue of 800 Jews and resistance workers from the Nazis. And just to put it in context, there was only around 1,400 Jews actually lived in this city. So this home actually saw a massive amount of these Jews go through it. And they did make a massive, significant difference. This family were called the Ten Boom family. And their mother had died and dad was left and the boys had moved out. There were four children. And there were two girls living in this home called Corrie and Betsy. But this family did something absolutely incredible. And some of you will now know exactly who I'm talking about. And you may have read the book or seen the movie, because there has been a book called The Hiding Place, which was written about this family, and a movie of the same name. And she actually wrote many books, did Corrie ten Boom. And if you go speak to Benny, who's on the front row right here afterwards, you know, if you do want to read the book, you can get hold of the book. But I just want us to spend a few minutes this morning just thinking about what happened here and really applying what that means for us as people and what God wants to say through this story. Because this family, they didn't start off rescuing 800 Jews. They became known as a family that cared. So this family, they just took in one Jewish family who were struggling, who were scared, who were running away, who were at threat of their lives and being taken away and arrested. And they said, yeah, we'll look after you. And it started off with one family. And so they became known as a family who cared. So people would actually knock on their home and they would come and they would spend either just hours maybe or days or longer with the family in their home. And they got so well known in the resistance in the Netherlands that they actually got a builder sent in to say, look, can we do something for you? Can we provide a hiding place in your home? Can we move some stuff around? And can we just make some space so that actually you're not in as much danger and people can go and be safe in this place if you get raided? And so the Ten Boom family put themselves in danger. But people didn't always know what was going on. And this is an incredible picture. It just, you're like, Michelle, why is there this random picture up there? Have they got the wrong one? Then no, they haven't. So this is in the window of their home. And that sign, when that sign was there, the Jews knew that they could go in and it was safe, that it was safe to go in and that they would be welcome. There was no Germans in. There was nobody in that was going to, you know, basically rat them out, because that sign was there to say it's safe, you can come in. And it was just so insignificant. It looks like nothing. But that meant you have a safe place here. But many people would walk past and they would not know what was going on in this home. They wouldn't know that there was anything different about this family. But for those that did, it was a difference between life and death. In that home was found a place of safety, hope, and the opportunity of life. And thanks, guys, you can take the picture off. And this family, you know, they did put themselves in grave danger, and they were eventually arrested. And Dad and the two sisters were taken away. And when they were taken away, they were arrested. They ended up in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück. But the two girls, Dad actually sadly died within 10 days of being arrested. But the two girls, they loved and they cared for people. And they spent the whole time while they were in the concentration camps just letting people know that God could help them, that God was there with them, that God could rescue them. And the love of God just burned so brightly within them. And it's an amazing story. And it really, like, I read it as a teenager and it really spoke to me as a teenager. But then going in the home was incredible. And today you can actually stand in the hiding place. And this is the hiding place that they built. And so there was enough room in there for six people. There was water put in there. There was crackers put in there. But in the bottom of this cupboard here, the bottom of the wall actually rose up. There was like a pulley system behind. And they literally crawled through into the hiding place. And there were old people. They were infirm people. But, you know, it was a place of safety. And it's quite amazing touring the house. And when you tour the house, thanks, guys, you hear the guide talk about the passion that these women had, the passion particularly that Corrie, who came out of the other end, had, and the faith that carried her through all of the days. And this story has inspired so many people. But you know what? This house just got me thinking that I wonder if today, in the here and now, do you know what you've got? Do you know what you've got? If you are a Christian, if you know the love of God in your life, do you know that that life-changing power is in you? You know, do you know the power that does break chains? Or do you just think, well, what you have is average? And you know what? If you don't believe this morning, if you're not a Christian, don't switch off, because all the things I'm going to talk about right now, you can have this morning. You see, Corrie had four things. Corrie had a message. She had a message, one of grace. You know what? People didn't need to earn it. They didn't need to come and give stuff just for her to welcome them in. They just came and asked. And Corrie had a message of grace. Corrie had a home, a family, a place of safety to bring those who needed it. Thirdly, she offered hope and life, a life of freedom. You know, this was life and death for these guys. And she was offering them life. And then fourthly, she had the opportunity to do something about it. She had the opportunity to do something about it. So she had a message of grace, a message of grace that people didn't need to earn. She had a home, a family, a place of safety. She offered hope and life and a life of freedom. And she had the opportunity to do something about it. And you know, as Christians today, we have those very same four things. We have exactly what Corrie ten Boom had. We have a message of grace. Like, we so have a message of grace. But people don't expect the church to have a message of grace. You know, if you're walking around, you know what people think of the church? They think that God's up there with a big stick. They think when they trip up, when they get stuff wrong, that God's looking down and condemning them. But you know what? They think the church do that as well. And we've got a reputation, guys, that we need to change. We've got a reputation that, you know, it's our responsibility. We're the church. And if people are going to believe something different, then they're going to have to see something different. And for years, like, I've been really guilty of kind of like going along with this, because when people talk to me about church, you know, I want them to realize that we're not weird, right? But perhaps we are a little, I don't know. But, you know, I just want them to go, no, like, we're normal. But then I've realized over the years, what I'm saying is actually I'm influencing people's opinions to keep it the same as what it's always been. So what I would be saying was, like, oh, yeah, we have an awesome church. You know, it's really lively. We're full of young people, but it's the same message. And I've been saying this for years. And for me, it's the same message, right? Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ who came, who lived and died for us. But what they're thinking is like, all right, okay, well, they're just the same as everyone else. And I'm like, oh my word, what am I doing? So I don't know, have you kind of like check your language? Like, what do you say when people ask you what your church is like? Do you say, oh yeah, it's awesome and it's great? Or do you just actually say, you know, yeah, we've got a message of grace. You know, come to our church and you'll find that, you know, people aren't going to be looking for your past failures. People aren't going to be like looking over your shoulder and going like, oh my word, you're just such a sinner. But no, they're going to go like, oh, this is incredible. God loves you so much. He's forgiven you. You know, I don't want people to think I'm speaking a message of condemnation over their lives. And if that's what they think, we need to change what we're speaking. We need to change our language, because the true message of the gospel is one of grace. It's one of freedom. It's a freedom from striving. It's a freedom from not having to achieve or perform. It's a freedom for not having to try to be loved or significant. It's not relying on what we do or even on who we are, but it's on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. If we look at the Bible in John chapter 1, verse 17, it's going to come on the screen behind me. It says this, John 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Don't worry, guys, if it doesn't. And truth came through Jesus Christ. For the law was given through Moses, but truth came through Jesus Christ. You know, if we're working and serving and trying to do good deeds to get on God's good side, we've just got it wrong. We've got it so wrong. You know what? If you're going around, you feel like I'm never good enough. I don't feel appreciated. You're always striving for recognition. You're always wanting someone to give you a pat on the back. You know what? You don't need to do those things, because the Christian life is a free gift. Once you've accepted the gift, then doing good deeds flows out of it. Then your gratitude from your heart that what God has done for you, then it's different. You're not doing it to please and to get everyone on your side, but you're doing it because you love God and you want to pursue him and you just want to worship him. You want to praise him. You want to honor him. And it's so different to when you're doing it just because you feel like you should. When we realize we can't save ourselves, there's someone who already has, then we put our life truly into God's hands. And then we don't mind what God's asked us to do, right? You know, what if God doesn't say he wants you to preach on the platform? What if he just says, I want you to wash dishes every week? Is that okay? You know, what if God says, I don't want you to, you know, run the kids' work. I just want you to host every week for the rest of your life, because all those people coming into to church need to know that there's someone who loves them. You know what? There's not like a scale in God's, you know, I'd be actually pretty happy if I had to wash dishes every week. But you know what? There's not a scale on what we do to kind of like build up who we are in Christ. Christ says, you've got it already. He says, you know what? Everything I've given you is already yours. You don't need to be someone. You don't need to do stuff. You just need to give your heart to me. When we realize that we can't do it, we don't have to do it, then we put our hands in the hands of someone who can. Secondly, we too have a great family. We too have a great family. In fact, as a church, now we know we're not perfect, but if you read the church we see on the website, this is who we long to be. Our heart for family is massive. It says these words, the church we see is a home for all, where people of any generation, age, race, and background are welcomed, valued, and loved. It's a place where each and every person can encounter God and find Jesus as Savior, Lord, and friend. And I don't know about you, but that's just a picture that I love. That's a picture that I cherish. That's a picture that I want my kids to grow up in. That's a picture that I want to bring my friends into. That's a picture, you know, when I'm at work or when I'm around and there's people in the coffee shop or I'm in the supermarket. You know what? That's the place I want to invite people into. You know, there was an incredible lady in the coffee shop this week, and she was just chatting to me. She had a little girl, and she was sort of talking about her family and her kids, and she was talking about her two daughters who were like gone to high school. And I just turned around, I was like, oh my word, this is such a great youth group happens here. Your girls would absolutely love it. And she said, oh yeah, that sounds amazing. And so she got introduced to Han Robinson, who's our youth worker. And she was like, oh yeah, they're going to, you know, they're just going to love this. It's awesome. And we really have got something really, really precious and significant here. And I don't know whether you realize what you are part of. I don't know if you kind of realize or if you take it for granted. Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families and leads out the prisoners with singing. You know what? There's so many people that are looking for love. There's so many people who are looking for the family that we've got. And like Corrie had a safe place and a family, we too have a safe place and a family. A place where we're accepted, a place where we're encouraged to become all that we can be. And you know what? If you want to be part of this family, it's real easy. 1 Peter 2 verse 17 tells us this. To love the family of believers. Love the family of believers. You know what? It's not someone else's responsibility. If you want to be part of this family, it's real easy. Start creating family at Valley. You know what? Do you go to a connect group? Are you part of a little family? Are you part of a group of people who hang out together, have dinner together? You know what? Are you part of a group of people who will love you and care for you? But you know what? It means you loving and caring for them. You know, it's not, you don't rock up to your family and go, right, I'm here now, everyone, look after me, unless you're a baby. Because when you're a baby, you can't do it. But for the rest of us, right, if you are in this church and you're saying, like, I want to be part of a family, then get stuck in. You know what? If you're going to a connect group, see what you can bring. If you're not serving, get on a service team. Like, find a way to contribute, because that's what being a family is about. It's about being involved. It's about bringing our gifts into the house of God. And we have an incredible family here, an incredible place for you to bring your gifts. You know, I came in this morning and the host team were there and they're just so ace, aren't they? And they were having their kind of get together in the coffee shop and they were sat around and, you know, it was just such a great atmosphere. And then the kids run out with flapjacks and things. And you know what? It's just such an incredible place to be. So, you know, come join, be part of who we are. Thirdly, we have hope. We have hope. 1 John 2 verse 25 says this. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. This is what he promised us, eternal life. Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. You know what, guys? Our eternity is secure. Our eternity is secure. We have a hope after this life. There's more than this. And it's not just after death, but John 10, verse 10 also says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. The God of miracles, the God who knows you and loves you, the Bible says has made his home within you. You know, it's just so incredible. When Corrie and Betsy were in the concentration camps, there's times when they're talking to people about Jesus and there's times when the awful things are happening to them. And Corrie kind of writes this story and she says, and Betsy, it was almost removed from it. It was like her face was shining. Because even though all the stuff was going on in their lives, it was like God had given her such a sense of peace. And I just love the idea that God has given us hope eternal, but actually God gives us that hope right now. God gives us that peace right now in the middle of whatever is going on in your life. You don't need to go, oh God, if only you will. You can go, God, right now where I am, I trust you. Because we can have hope right now. So fourthly, we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity. You see, with every problem comes the opportunity to do something about it. With every problem comes the opportunity to be part of the solution. I wonder, do you see and get held back by the problems that come your way, the issues, the relationship challenges, the work difficulties? You know, do you look at them and you just go, God, it's another one, I've had enough? Or could you perhaps just step back and pray? And invite God right into that situation, like what I've just described right then. Because what looks like a wall that you cannot get through is actually an opportunity for you to break that wall down. Or an opportunity for you to find a doorway in the wall. Or an opportunity to walk around the side of the wall. Because when you invite God into it, you can make a difference. You can be part of the solution. And rather than just seeing the impossibilities, maybe you could start to dream again. Maybe you could start to lift your gaze. I came across this phrase like a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember who said it, so if it was you, I apologize. It was this: if you want to see miracles, you have to step into the impossible. If you want to see miracles, you have to step into the impossible. You see, church, do you know what you've got? Do you know what you've got this morning? Do you know what is inside of you? The good news of Jesus Christ is more precious than the safe house that we started in Harlem. And for Corrie and Betsy, it was this very truth that helped them through the darkest times. It helped them have hope. But not only that, it helped them to give love to others. I wonder, do you know what is in you? Do you know what is in you? You know, I mentioned a beautiful couple last week, and I only mentioned part of the story. In fact, Beth's here right in front of me. But when her mum and dad texted me about a story for Vision Sunday, they kind of added this bit to it. And they said, Michelle, we feel alive in God's presence since we've come to Valley. And it's like God's awakened us from our slumber. And I just think that's an incredible testimony. And just to see a couple who have not been with us so long, but just coming alive because they've kind of recognized again the presence of God in their lives. And you know what? The amazing power of God is right that. It is the power of God to change lives. But we could tell story after story. And I know many of you could come up on the platform and share your story about what God has done in your life. But you know what? What does it mean for us in our lives today? What does it mean from our lives? What from all that we're doing will last? What from what we're doing will have an eternal impact? Will it be how much money we've made? Will it be the size of our houses or our holidays? Will it be how many followers we've got on Instagram, or, you know, who's got the best selfie? Will it be our opinion, the opinions of other people? Do you think God is bothered about any of those things? The things that maybe we just spend so much of our time and our resources with. But in the end, you know what? None of those things will count. None of those things will count to God. Two things will count. Firstly, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with the love of God that he has for you? And secondly, what have you done for others? Two things will count. What have you done with Jesus? And what have you done for others? How have you shown God's love, mercy, and grace in your life? You see, that is, in fact, the only reason that if you're a Christian, we're here on the planet. It's the only reason that you and I are here today, is to let other people know about the incredible love of God, his amazing grace, his total forgiveness that brings an end to shame, that gives us life forever and the ability to pass it on. Church, that is exactly why we're here. Our purpose on earth is to lift people up. It's to impact their eternal destiny. It's to give those around us the ability to know and love the God that we know, the God that we love, and the invitation to become part of his family. So as I come to a close and the band come up, are you living the Christian life? Like, not just are you living a nice Christian life, but really, are you living a life that is empowered by God, that is faith-filled, that is life-changing? Are your ears open to heaven? Can you hear the voice of God cheering you on, daring you to believe? Are you believing for the impossible? Are you listening? Are you giving God time? Can you hear him? Can you hear him telling you who needs his love? Can you feel the nudge of heaven just giving you that, you know, just go and bless that person? Do you have time for God? And do you have time for others? Are your eyes open to those around you? Are you living in the present, or is your head down, involved in other stuff? Are you living seeing the people around you? The lonely, the troubled, those in pain, those who God has brought right for you to bless. Those who actually, the Bible says, are looking for him. Luke 10 verse 2 says, the harvest is ripe. There are people around you, maybe at the school gate, maybe in college, maybe at work, maybe your family, maybe at the grocery store or the coffee shop. You know what? Is your heart longing to pass on the love of God, the revelation of the love of God, the mercy and grace that he has for you? Will you allow your schedule to be interrupted and changed just so you can love those around you? Corrie and Betsy started showing kindness to just one family. They didn't go, yeah, we're going to save 800 Jews. Like, that is awesome. But they just went, hey, we're going to help our family. And you know what, church? We can all help one family. We can all help one family, and who knows what God might do as you step out in faith and just help the one. And you know what? They didn't just help save the Jews from the concentration camps, but what they did was, in the middle of all of the pain and the trouble, they introduced so many people to Jesus. So that these women, because they were obviously within the women's section, so that these women were able to face the unthinkable, the unimaginable, things that we couldn't even conjure up, I don't think, in our heads, some of the things that they went through. But you know what? They helped women to find Jesus. They helped women who were going to face the torture chambers and the gas chamber, and they helped them to walk right into the presence of God from this life to the next, knowing that their hand was in the hand of God. So I wonder today, will you live a life for what God counts worthy? What God counts important? For what is eternal? Will you put your hand in the hand of God and allow Him to resource you? You know what? We're alive to reach out. We're alive to reach out with kindness, to reach out with generosity, to reach out with an expectation in faith that God will move with His healing and His wholeness. You know, we were praying for Jess and the baby, and we're believing for healing for you. We so are. But we also know that God will also make your face shine. And we know this is your testimony, that the journey that you travel, you know what, God is right there in the middle with you. And we just know that God can do it, and we're trusting Him. But we're standing with you guys. We want to reach out in love and forgiveness and grace and hope. But you know, to reach out, we've got to take our eyes off ourselves. We've got to take the focus off our own inadequacies, our own mistakes and shortcomings. We've got to take our eyes off our own agendas and the things that maybe we want instead of the things that perhaps God is showing us. And instead to focus on the grace of God, the grace that He has given us. And then we can't help but pass it on. We can't help but pass on what God has given us when we're walking in it, when we've got our eyes fixed on Him instead of fixed on ourselves. You see, Corrie could have focused on the fact that the house was insignificant. The house was narrow and tall. You know, it wasn't a big house. She could have focused on the fact that the police station was just around the corner. She could have focused on her fear. But instead, she focused on God. She had her hand in the hand of her Heavenly Father. She trusted Him. She was available, and she lived out what God had put on her life, which was a message of grace and of hope and life. And today, my question is really simple. Will you do the same? Will you do the same?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church, or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.